Welcome to the Fairy Tales of India, where we bring to you stories of kings and queens, of princes and fairies, and of crafty wizards and magical beasts. These are classic tales of adventure, magic, and drama from India, brought to you in a new avatar by Gatha Story. To learn more, visit MythsAndLegendsIndia.com. The Ruby Prince. Once upon a time, in the city of Ujjain, a poor Brahman was walking along a dusty road. He saw something sparkling on the ground. On picking it up, it turned out to be a small red stone. Thinking it to be a somewhat curious object, the Brahman put the stone into his pocket and went on his way. He soon reached the market and he came to a corn merchant's shop at the side of the road. He was hungry, but he had no money. All of a sudden, he remembered the red stone. He took it out and offered it to the corn dealer in exchange for a bite and soup, as he had no money in his pocket. Now for a wonder, the shopkeeper was an honest man. So, after looking at the stone, he asked the Brahmin to take it to the king.
"For," said he, "all the goods in my shop are not its equal in value."
Then the Brahman carried the stone to the king's palace and asked to be shown into his presence. But the prime minister refused at first to admit him. Nevertheless, when the Brahman persisted that he had something valuable to show, he was allowed to see the king. Now the snake's stone was just like a ruby, red and fiery. Therefore, when the king saw it, he said,
"What do you want in exchange for this ruby, O Brahman?"
Then the Brahman replied,
"Only a pound of meal to make a cake, but I am hungry."
"No," said the king, "it is worth more than that."
So he sent for a lakh of rupees from his treasury and handed it over to the Brahman, who went on his way rejoicing. Then the king called his queen and gave the jewel into her custody. He also gave many instructions for its safekeeping.
"For," said he, "there was nothing like it in the whole world."
The queen, determined to be careful, wrapped the stone in cotton wool and put it away in an empty chest. She locked the chest with double locks, where the ruby snake stone lay for 12 long years. At the end of that time, the king sent for his queen and said,
"Bring me that ruby. I wish to satisfy myself that it is safe."
The queen took her keys and, going to her room, opened the chest. Did she find the ruby stone? Or what do you think she found inside the chest? A snake. Okay, a good guess. What about you? What do you think she found? Maybe an elephant. That's cute. So let's continue with the story. Well, the ruby was gone. And in its place was a handsome young boy. The queen was at
first surprised. She shut down the box again and opened it in a great hurry. The boy appeared again. The queen shut the chest again and thought that she had better do to break the news to the king. Now, as she had imagined, the king became impatient and sent a servant to ask what the delay was. Then the queen made the servant carry the box to the audience chamber. She went to the chamber with her keys. She unlocked the chest before the king. Out stepped our handsome boy, much to everybody's astonishment.
"Who are you?"
said the king.
"And where is my jewel?"
"I am Ruby Prince," returned the boy. "More than that, you cannot know." Then the king was angry and drove him away from the palace. But the king was a kind man, and he first gave the boy a horse and arms so that he might fight his way into the world. Now, as Prince Ruby journeyed on his steed, he came to the outskirts of the town. There, he saw an old woman making bread, and as she mixed the flour and kneaded it, she cried.
"Why do you laugh and cry, mother?"
asked the Prince Ruby.
"Because my son must die today,"
replied the woman.
"There is an ogre in this town, and every day he eats a young man. It is my son's turn to provide the dinner, and that is why I weep."
Then Prince Ruby laughed at her fears and said that he would kill the ogre and set the town free. For this, the old woman must let him sleep a while in her house and promise to wake him up when the time came to go forth and meet the ogre.
"What good will that do to me?"
asked the old woman.
"You will only be killed, and then my son will have to go tomorrow. Sleep on, stranger, if you will, but I will not wake you."
Then Prince Ruby laughed again.
"It is of no use, mother," he said. "Fight the ogre, I will. And as you will not wake me, I must even go to the place of meeting and sleep there."
So he rode off on his steed beyond the gates of the city, and tying his horse to a tree, he lay down to sleep peacefully. By and by the ogre came for its dinner, but hearing no noise and seeing no one, it thought the townspeople had failed in their bargain. The ogre decided to visit the town and seek his revenge. But Ruby Prince, refreshed by slumber, attacked the ogre. He cut off the ogre's head with no effort. He tied the ogre's head on the gate of the town, and returning to the old woman's house, told her he had killed the ogre. Then he lay down to sleep again. Now, when the townspeople saw the ogre's head and hands peering over the city gate, they thought the dreadful creature had come to revenge itself. Therefore, they ran to the king in a great fright. The king, in turn, thought that the old woman, whose son was to have formed the ogre's dinner, must have played some trick. He went with his officers to the place where she lived and found her laughing and singing.
"Why do you laugh?"
he asked
sternly.
I laugh because the ogre is killed,
she replied.
And because the prince who killed it is sleeping in my house.
The king and his officers, as well as the villagers, were all surprised to hear these words. Yet, sure enough, when they came to examine more closely, they saw that the ogre's head was tied to the main gate. The ogre was quite dead. Then the king said,
"Show me this valiant prince who sleeps so soundly."
And when he saw the handsome young boy, he recognized him as the lad whom he had driven from the palace. Then he turned to his prime minister and said,
"What reward should this youth have?"
And the prime minister answered at once,
"Your daughter in marriage and half your kingdom is not too high a reward for the service he has rendered."
So Ruby Prince was married with great pomp and splendor to the king's fair daughter, and half the kingdom was given to him to rule. But the Ruby Princess's wife, as much as she loved her gallant husband, was unhappy because she did not know who he was. Moreover, the other women in the palace teased her for having married a stranger, a man who came from no man's land and a man whom none called brother. So day after day, she would ask her husband to tell her who he was and where he came from. And every day, Ruby Prince would reply,
"Dear heart, ask me anything but that. There are some things you must not know."
Yet still, the princess begged and prayed and wept and coaxed until one day, when they were standing by the riverside, she whispered, "If you love me, tell me who you are." Now Ruby Prince's foot touched the water as he replied,
"Oh, dear heart,
anything but that, for there are some things you must not know." Still, the princess, imagining she saw signs of yielding in his face, said again,
"If you love me, tell me of what land you come from and what tribe you belong to."
Then Ruby Prince stood knee deep. Then Ruby Prince stood knee deep in the water, and his face was sad as he replied,
"Dear heart, anything but that, for that is something you must not know."
Once again, the willful bride put up her question, and Ruby Prince was waist deep in the stream.
"Dear heart, anything but that."
Tell me,
cried the princess. And lo, as she spoke, a jeweled snake with a golden crown and a ruby star rose from the water, and with a sorrowful look towards her, disappeared beneath the wave. The ruby prince was gone. Then the princess went home and wept bitterly and cursed her own curiosity, which had driven away her handsome, gallant, young husband. She offered a reward of a bushel of gold to anyone who would bring her any information about him. But day after day passed, and still no news came. So the princess grew pale with weeping, tears and sorrow. At last, a tribal woman came to the princess and said,
"Last night I saw a strange thing. When I was out gathering sticks for firewood, I lay down to rest under a tree and fell asleep. When I awoke, there was a strange light, neither daylight nor moonlight. While I wondered, a strange being came out from a snake hole at the foot of the tree. This being swept the ground with his broom, and there followed a water carrier who sprinkled the ground with water, and after that two carpet bearers who spread costly rugs. And then they all disappeared. Even as I wondered what these preparations meant, a noise of music fell upon my ears. And from the snake hole came forth a goodly procession of young men, all glittering with jewels. And there, in the midst, was a young man who seemed to be the king. Then while the musicians played, one by one, the young man rose and danced before the king. But a young man who wore a red star on his forehead looked pale and weak. That is all I have to say.
So the next night the princess went with the dancing girl to the tree. They hid themselves behind the trunk. They waited to see what might happen. Sure enough, after a while, it became light that was neither sunlight nor moonlight. Then the sweeper came forth and swept the ground. The water carrier sprinkled it. The carpet bearers placed the rugs. And last of all, to the sound of music, the glittering procession swept out. How the princess's heart beat when she recognized her dearest husband, the one with a bright red star, and how it ached when she saw how pale he was and how little he seemed to care to dance. Then, when all had performed before the king, the light went out and the princess returned to the snake hole. Every night she would go to the tree and watch, but all day she would weep because she seemed no nearer getting back her husband. At last one day, the dancing girl said to her,
"Oh princess, I have hit upon a plan. The Snake King is passionately fond of dancing, and yet it is only men who dance before him. Now, if a woman were to do so, who knows, but he might be so pleased that he would grant her anything she asked. Let me dance before them today."
"Nay," replied the princess, "I will learn a few and try myself." So the princess learned to dance, and in an incredibly short time, she far surpassed her teacher. Never before or since was such a graceful, charming, elegant dancer seen. Everything about her was perfection. Then she dressed herself in finest muslins and silver brocades with diamonds on her veil till she shone and sparkled like a star. With beating heart, she hid behind the tree and waited. The sweeper, the water carrier, the carpet bearers came forth in turn, and then the glittering procession.
The ruby prince looked paler and sadder than ever. And when his turn came to dance, he hesitated, as if sick at heart. Just then, from behind the tree, stepped a veiled woman, clad in white, with jewels flashing, danced before the king. Never was there such a dance. Everybody held their breath till it was done. And then the king cried aloud,
"Oh, unknown dancer, ask what you will, and it shall be yours.
Give me the man for whom I danced," replied the princess. The snake king looked very fierce, and his eyes glittered as he said,
"You have something you had no right to ask, and I should kill you were it not for my promise. Take him and be gone."
Quick as thought, the princess seized Ruby Prince by the hand, dragged him away from the forest and fled. From that day, the Ruby Prince and his wife lived very happily. And though the women in the palace still taunted her, the young queen kept quiet and never again asked her husband of what land or what race he came from.
Thank you for listening to this awesome story from Fairy Tales of India. You can listen to many such stories in English, Hindi, and soon in many other languages. To learn more, visit mlftpodcast.in.
The story was narrated by Shirali Biju for Fairy Tales of India and has been produced by Gatha Stories.